If I keep doing what I keep doing, I will continue to get the same results. And if that is not satisfactory to me, then clearly I'm going to have to go and make changes, which are going to be painful. And I'm going to have to fight against my instincts. I'm going to need people around me that have done this, have navigated that way, and will push me and hold me accountable to evolve into the next phase. Because if I could do it myself, I would have already done it, right? I know what I need to do. I'm fighting against my own instincts to get there.
Welcome to the Cashflow for Life podcast. We believe there are two types of people in this world. People that have greater cash flow coming in every single month, or people who have cash flow going out. We believe you need to be the type of person that has cash flow coming in, and that is what this podcast is all about. Our mantra is simple. If you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life. If you're looking to achieve financial freedom through real estate investing, you're in the right place. Andrew Holmes, a renowned expert in the field, is your guide on this journey. Andrew is the driving force behind National RE Invest, the largest real estate investors association in the United States. Together, we're here to help you build wealth and create more cash flow in your life. Let's get into the show.
Hey guys, today we're talking to the Kent Clothier. And this guy has been somebody who was well ahead of his time in terms of wholesales. He was well ahead of times as he saw kind of the industry changing. And he runs a phenomenal mastermind. It's called The Boardroom. Not only is this a mastermind that kind of takes your game, if you already are a real estate investor, to the next level, but I think what he's unique is in his thought process that it's not just about the hustle, it's about really producing CEOs. And I think you're going to be blown away by some of the conversations that I had a chance to have with Kent and the thought process that we're not just hustlers, but we're people, business people that should be running an organization and a business. So this is an absolutely phenomenal interview with Kent Clothier. Hey guys, welcome. Today we have a great guest. It's Mr. Kent Clothier himself. If you do not know Kent, this is a podcast you really want to pay special attention to. This is Andrew from Cashflow for Life. So Kent does a ton of different things. And most importantly, I know him from the boardroom mastermind, and I went to it last year. And so I wanted to bring him on as a guest, and you're in for a treat. So Mr. Kent, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
Definitely. Kent, for those of you, people that may not know, if you're in the real estate space, investor space, they will know you. But for people who are not familiar with you, do you want to start with a little bit of a background, kind of where you started? Because you've had a long journey, and today you're kind of imparting that knowledge and helping lead leaders in the industry. So,
yeah, I'll make it as brief as I possibly can here. But I got started in business at a really young age, and 17, grew up in the grocery industry of all things, and so from 17 to 30, I, with the help of a lot of other people, was able to build a really successful company, doing a couple $1 billion a year, and ultimately based out of Boca Raton, Florida. And then as fate would have it, I kind of got into a run-in with my partners and spent a couple years, effectively tearing that relationship apart and kind of having to ultimately start over, which brought me into real estate. I started flipping houses down in South Florida. And after the meltdown I had just experienced, decided I wanted to do things a little differently as it related to the personal and professional life. And I wanted to be really focused on, you know, my new little girl that was on the way and the new family that we were building. And so I got really passionate about turning this hustle, just flipping a few houses, into a real business. And before you knew it, we were flipping several hundred houses a year and kind of were on the cutting edge of using data and technology and lead generation systems, a lot of the things that we were kind of creating along the way to make all that kind of stuff happen. And as fate would have it, the Great Recession hit, and a lot of the carnival barkers and people that were out there kind of selling the dream kind of all went away. And there was a few of us that were still left standing, yourself included, that were really doing this. And before I knew it, I was being asked to speak all over the country and provide our trainings and systems and things that we had developed, and you know, fast forward to where we are today, you know, we still have a very, very successful, my family does, a very successful real estate investing business based out of Memphis, Tennessee called REI Nation. Still flips to this day, turnkeys between 600 and 1,000 single family houses every year. We manage right at 8,000 single family houses for our investors. One of my other companies still wholesales another 400 to 500 properties a year. We've opened several funds that variety, there's a, you know, a lot of variety in what they do, but whether it's in the private lending space, we've got funds that focus on multifamily, industrial, hospitality, RV parks, self-storage. And then, as you mentioned, kind of what have sat on top of all of this. As I was going along the way, I was got in the education business and the software business and built really big businesses and all of that. And what sat on top of it for the last 12 years is the Boardroom Mastermind, which is, as you know, 200 plus of the best real estate investors in the country that get together several times a year and kind of pour into each other. And so it's been a heck of a journey.
So, Ken, for those people, because, I mean, I think one thing I really, really appreciate about you, and you know the space intimately while you've been in it from the beginning. And one thing I really, really respect about you as a human being, right? Because this goes a lot more beyond real estate, which is that you're one of those guys who's no BS, right? And I go to that because that is very, very hard to find in our industry. I mean, everybody is going to be the next multi-bajillionaires today, right?
Right.
Yet the business is in the basic, right? I mean, as you know, I try to promote something which is basic, right? Buy simple houses, build up a big portfolio in B and C areas, and then pay them down. I mean, I try to keep it very, very basic. You kind of started in that space, which is more, you're known initially, people may know you from the wholesale space, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because there is that wholesale business, which you've obviously talked about it, which a lot of people get in that business and they are hustlers and not a CEO, or more than the CEO term, a business owner, because these are two different things, hustling and being a business owner, because a lot of times that hustler gets tired. You're running on a treadmill, running on a treadmill, running on a treadmill, economy changes, something happens, and suddenly the business goes out of control. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, look, I'll talk on both areas here, right? So to your point, yes, wholesaling is something that a lot of people gravitate to. And quite frankly, because you would be hard pressed in the real estate space to find a lower barrier of entry where it comes to the capital that is required, et cetera. I mean, you can get fairly far from a hustling perspective in the wholesaling game out of pure grit, right? I mean, if you're highly motivated, there is no shortage. I mean, it's never been easier than it is today. There's Correct. To go and find properties and find people that are more than willing to, you know, take your position inside of a contract and make a small fee, along the way. So hustling, you know, our wholesaling has a tendency to, for a lot of people to gravitate to it. But just to be very clear, wholesaling is not real estate investing. You know, wholesaling.
Explain that. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Because yeah, a lot of times, wholesaling is nothing more than it's a mechanism of, you know, if you think about wholesaling is, if I went down the street today and I bought a lottery ticket and I found out the next morning that somehow I won the lottery and I was going to get paid $1 million a year for the next 30 years, but that was how it was going to be paid out. Well, there are absolutely companies right now, and JG Wentworth and other companies that buy annuities, they would come in and offer me a fee to take my position in that lottery ticket, in those proceeds, and basically say, Kent, we'll give you $10 million today in cash. We want the ticket and we're going to take $30 million over the next 30 years. So they're buying my position in that, effectively that contract. And that's what wholesaling is. Wholesaling is, I was smart enough to go out and get a property under contract at a reduced price. And there are thousands of buyers around the country, if not hundreds of thousands, that the hard work has been done for them. They couldn't really find the property. They couldn't get to it. And so they're more than willing to pay a fee, for lack of better ways of saying it, to take your position in the contract. And I can do that all day long and effectively never have to really show up with the money for the deal. All I'm doing is kind of getting in between. I'm not doing anything to create net worth. I'm not doing anything to create passive income. I'm not really buying a property. I'm not really even selling a property. What I'm doing is I'm getting something under contract and selling the contract. So that's not real estate investing, but it is a great way to understand the business, understand the basics, to your point earlier, of what it looks like to go and actually find distressed properties, to be very familiar with the process, to be very familiar with the vocabulary, to build up some cash reserves that ultimately you can go and take advantage of, you know, again, some of the things that I know you're extremely passionate about and I am as well, is acquiring properties and ultimately building net worth and building equity and ultimately building passive income. This is, wholesaling is a means to an end, but don't, you know, the other point that you made is hustlers come in all shapes and sizes, right? And where hustlers are not exclusive to wholesalers. There's plenty of fix and flippers. There's plenty of you know, commercial operators. There's plenty of self-storage guys. There's plenty of, in every area of real estate and in business, quite frankly, the entrepreneurial aspect where people jump in and they get going and they start creating income. But they look up one day and they realize that the moment they take their foot off the gas, if they are not driving revenue, if they are not pushing, then the income goes away. Well, that by definition means you don't own a business, you own a job. And breaking free of, hey, how do I go from hustler to CEO is obviously the thing I'm the most passionate about, is that it's real. Relatively speaking, it is not challenging to get out there and go and figure out a way to make money in real estate. That is not hard, right? You got guys like yourself, myself, and others that are professionals at it and are more than willing to show you how to go do that. Now, turning that hustle into a real business, and by definition, a business meaning I'm going to get paid whether I show up or not. That's a pretty hard, or can be a pretty hard gap to bridge. But I tell you what, when you do it, as you and I both know, when that happens, that's where financial freedom and time freedom really come into play. Until then, you know, you basically own I've had guys, quite frankly, dude, I haven't even shared this with you. I've had people that, you know, they have a significant net worth. I'm talking hundreds of millions of dollars, and are still don't have a system or a process in place. And it is all, I'm surrounded by a handful of people. It's all tribal knowledge. All decisions kind of run through me. Nobody can operate. When I go on vacation, I have to take my laptop. I'm glued to my phone. You know, they're still hustlers. They've created significant net worth, but they designed the entire organization to all run through them. And that is not in any way, shape, or form freedom. And so that's what I've become extremely passionate about over the last decade, for sure.
That's a very sophisticated treadmill that they're running on with lots of push buttons. And I think a lot of times what happens is we don't know, because I feel, see if you agree, a lot of people come from middle-class families, lower middle-class, middle. And so the only thing they know is to work hard. They'll take easy shit, make it difficult, because that's all we've been trained all the time. You have to work hard. You have to work. Rather than understanding there's a big difference between running a business versus being hustle all the time, because we don't know any other way. Would you agree with that?
I would go even one step further. You're 100% correct. But and it even goes further than that, is that if you think about the chemistry and the way we are made up biologically, what happens is that we get that dopamine hit. We get those endorphins when the decisions have to be made, when the transactions go down. I mean, even to this day, you and I both know that there's certain deals that you do it and you get excited about it and you get all that rush. And so chemically, what happens is we start to get wired and become addicted to the transactional process, right? And that's what we like. It makes us feel good. It's how our cup gets filled up. And what's really hard to understand is that in a lot of cases, when you're trying to start thinking strategically, when you're trying to move to the next level, you have to fight against your own instincts. In other words, what got you here, you naturally want to stay in that place. Like, you want it because I like that feeling. And we will sit there and talk ourselves into just complete nonsense about what it looks like to go to the next level. And we'll start having conversations with ourselves like, well, nobody can do it the way I do it. Nobody's going to care about the business as much as I do. I have to check everything. I have a certain way of doing this. And these are all just This is internal dialogue that keeps us trapped from going to the next level. When the entire dialogue needs to be, listen, if I keep doing what I keep doing, I will continue to get the same results. And if that is not satisfactory to me, then clearly I'm going to have to go and make changes, which are going to be painful, and I'm going to have to fight against my instincts. I'm going to need people around me that have done this, have navigated that way, and will push me and hold me accountable to evolve into the next phase. Because if I could do it myself, I would have already done it, right? I know what I need to do. I'm fighting against my own instincts to get there.
So the things you're talking about, Ben, is a lot higher level conversation. Meaning sometimes, you know, you try to read somebody Latin that's basically just kind of Latin 101, and you're trying to give them a PhD in the language of Latin. Really, that's what you're talking about, is that until we get to a point where you're like, oh my God, I'm frustrated, you're not even open to this thought process.
You nailed it,
right? Because, I mean, a lot of times with small business owner immigrants, we kind of push our way, and get somewhere, and then we become very closed-minded because you want to hang on to what you got. You don't want to lose it, right? And everybody else is stupid except you, right?
Right.
And nobody does it. Nobody chooses to do it. I think it happens, and you don't even know you're thinking that way. Is that your observation?
That's exactly right. That's right. And okay. That's where I go back to, you're fighting against your own instincts. Until you reach the level where you actually, you know, are reflective on yourself and say, hey, man, you know, good enough isn't good enough anymore. Like I know I'm designed to do more, and this is going to be an uncomfortable process, but I'm willing to do what it takes to get there. Until you reach that level, then everything that I'm talking about right now is kind of irrelevant. It's just going to fall on deaf ears because you're already so programmed. And by the way, you have been rewarded for that behavior. You are successful. You're making the money you need to make, you know, providing for your family and created some level of security. And so, yeah, to your point, you've got to get to a place to where you realize that, you know, the clock's ticking. And if I'm going to do more, and I'm going to look, my personal philosophy is I don't scale businesses for the sake of scaling businesses and to get bigger. I scale businesses to escape them. I scale businesses to create freedom. Like my entire motivation is not because I want to, you know, have this billion-dollar empire. My entire motivation is about, man, if we're in a business and the business is requiring anything of me, it is my job to put the systems, processes, people, leverage, whatever it looks like, in place so that I can escape it. And that thing is now an asset and it continues to run without me. And if people look at it that way, like your job is not to work to death. Your job is to create that freedom that you've always sought out. And I'm not telling you to go get bigger for the sake of getting bigger. I'm talking about, you know, there's a few decisions inside of every business, people, again, processes, leverage, whatever, that can really change the dynamic quite dramatically and quickly.
So, I mean, I was kind of blown away because I didn't come from that type of background when I came to your boardroom where people are doing 300-400 transactions as wholesalers, right? And you have not only coached them, you've helped them scale their business. When you look at somebody that have business like that, you've seen people that kind of have moved beyond where I'm just growing for the sake of growing, what you just spoke to, whereas what is my net bottom line? Meaning that I've always believed that keep it small, but keep it very profitable, rather than same thing with rentals, do it simple and stack it up, because it's the money is in simplicity and in repetitious boredom over a period of time. Just keep doing it, because the tendency is to, the neighbor's grass always seems greener, right?
No doubt.
It always seems greener, especially to people like me that sometimes grew up with low self-esteem, right? And we have to admit that. But what do you see the difference between wholesalers that actually scale and are still extremely profitable and can adjust to the market changes versus people who may have big numbers but are very low profitability-wise? Because wholesaling to scale is scalable, but then the profitability starts suffering. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I think that you know, at the end of the day, it's looking at the business as a business owner and understanding, you know, look, I don't know about you, but I certainly know that, look, coming up in the business world, there's not a lot of people that will sit down and explain to you the value of key performance indicators and really understanding the numbers and the levers that drive profitability and drive cost controls inside of a business or drive revenue. Like there's very specific things in a wholesaling business and in any business that you pull on this lever, you improve this one metric, and it is going to have a ripple effect throughout that. But nobody sits you down and has those conversations with you as a new business owner. Nobody sits you down and says, hey, let me actually show you how to read a financial statement. Let me show you a profit and loss statement. Let me show you a cash flow statement. Let me show you a balance sheet and understand what it means and how this all ultimately creates a situation where you are increasing your net worth, increasing your profitability, increasing your cash flow. Like, nobody does that. And so I think the difference, as you asked, is that the people that will take the time and ask for help to really understand that kind of, you know, math is the language of business, period, right? It's all a math equation. And to your point, it might be, hey, what did I buy it for? What did I sell it for? Or what did I buy it for? What's the monthly cash flow? I mean, it's just all X's and O's. But if somebody doesn't actually sit you down and help you understand it as at a CEO level, then it is extremely challenging to keep your eye on all the right balls, right? It's very easy to get distracted by the things that you naturally gravitate to. I mean, there's a lot of wholesalers that do a lot of deals, and you come to find out that they're intimately involved in lead generation, or they might still be talking to sellers, or they might still be talking to buyers, or whatever the case may be. So they gravitate to what they know instead of really taking the time to understand what the big boys do. Is they get above the business and they run it like a CEO, and they're looking at it. They might still wear multiple hats, but there's decisions that are being made about the bottom line and about the things that drive to the bottom line that really matter. Equally at the CEO level, especially some of the best wholesalers out there, what they have come to understand, and hopefully some of it through my pouring into them, is that, you know, there's multiple ways to go scale a business. And most people think strictly in terms of, well, I have to do a bigger transaction or I have to do more transactions. And the reality of it is that's two. But a third is figuring out how to profit from the exact same transaction. And if you're not thinking about it strategically and looking at the bottom line, as you just pointed out, then the opportunity for those conversations never really comes to light. But I'll give you an example. As a wholesaler, you know, very smart wholesalers understand that at least 75% of the deals that they're selling typically to fix and flippers. In a lot of cases, mom and pop fix and flippers are smaller. And those flippers are borrowing hard money from somebody. And so just by virtue of me selling the deal, somebody else, that hard money lender, is also going to get paid. And there's going to be a lot of somebodies, appraisers, inspectors, all the way down the line. But the first one is going to be that hard money lender. And so if I include that in my transaction, I can effectively double my profits from the same deal. Meaning I sell a deal for $200,000 to somebody and they've got to go borrow 160 grand to buy it. And if you're going to borrow 160 grand, well, bring me the rate and term that you were going to borrow that money. And let's just say it's 4 and 12 right now, 4 points and 12% annualized. Well, I will loan you the 160 for the same rate and term. So it changes nothing about your transaction for my buyer. Everything is still the same. The only difference now is that on $160,000, that roughly, you know, somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 in interest is going to come into my pocket versus going into somebody else's pocket. Same deal, same transaction, but instead of me letting that 10 or 20 go to somebody else, if I had the means to loan them the money as well, I'm going to make 20 grand on the wholesale fee and I'm going to make 20 grand on the interest. I've doubled the size of my profit on the exact same transaction without having to do anything more than I was doing already. And so those are the types.
So you're talking about being a business owner where you're controlling that vertical. The more pieces of that vertical that you're controlling,
you said it perfectly. Business owner. Perfect. Yeah. That's it. You're thinking about it as a business. You're not thinking about it as a single transaction.
And I think that's the big part of it. The other day I had this conversation with Gonzalo from Jacksonville. And this is the exact thing that I was talking about, because a lot of times from the outside, what I've seen is when I tried to do 30, 40, 60 flip transactions, to do 60, and most people don't realize that, the average person doesn't realize, to close 60 deals in a year, you got to buy 95 deals. You got to buy 100 deals because the amount of pendings, amount of carryovers, the amount of things, the amount of fall throughs, people don't realize that. And then when you really do the numbers, which is the toughest thing to do, that you want to close your eyes because there are certain properties you're not making money in. And the ones that are the biggest pain in the asses is the ones you make the least amount of money in. The question, right? The question becomes is that out of 66 transactions I did, I made less than $12,000. 33 transactions made more than $50,000. Right. So why the hell am I doing that? And why are those not, I'm sloughing them off as wholesales? And that's where that whole thing comes in. But I think that's where a lot of times we get into a place where, oh my God, no. Because everybody around you is telling you, man, you're a badass, right? Yeah, man, I'm kicking. It's not, and people don't realize that people think, oh my God, you're killing it. You're not killing anything. You're killing yourself. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. The market turns on you. Something goes south. You suddenly see people go from flying sky high. And then they're like, well, you know what happened to the market? Well, yeah, the market is a part of it, but we don't take responsibility, which is we were not really running a business. We were just running on the treadmill as fast as we could. And one day it just caught up with us.
Well, I share this a lot when I'm, you know, with my private CEOs I work with, is that one of the most beneficial things you can do to, and this makes your point perfectly, is that, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so if you only know, you know, one thing, it's wildly transactional, right? And it's easy to fall into that trap. What most people should be doing as a business owner is looking at every transaction through the lens of, you know, good, better, best. And it should all be based off of the velocity of money.
Yeah.
And 100%. I can tell you that, you know, good is I can wholesale this thing and make $10,000 right now and I can get paid in the next 20 days, right? That's good. Better, all right, well, I actually have to close on it. And maybe I'm just going to sweep it out, clean it up, get junk removal, whatever, effectively wholesale the deal. I'm going to close on it, you know, through the MLS. I'm going to make, you know, $40,000, but it's going to take me, you know, 60 days. All right, well, that's better. Best is, all right, well, I'm going to take it down, completely rehab it. I'm going to create $130,000 in equity and I'm going to rent it, or I'm just going to flip it and make $130,000 profit, but it's going to take me 6 months. But it's all, you know, on the X and Y axis, it is how long is it going to take and how much money am I going to make? And by the way, there I have yet to meet anyone who owns the perfect business that through seasonality and through market changes and everything where it never gets bumpy. Yep. Reality of it is bumps happen. Cash flow constrictions happen. Resource drains happen. You know, we're working on 12 projects. We can't take on 10 more. And when you're in those scenarios as the CEO, you have to call the perfect play based off of what you're doing right now. The cash is more important to me. Wholesale that thing. Get rid of it, right? We want the cash right now from a liquidity standpoint versus, hey, we have no projects on our table. Let's go take down a few for a rehab. We got plenty of time and plenty of money. I mean, every business is constantly in this fluid situation. And so if you're just a static CEO that everything looks the same way every time, and I'm just going to do it, to your point earlier, it's not a matter of if you're going to get hurt. It's just a matter of when.
Are you enjoying the show thus far? You know what they say, knowledge is not power, but rather it's the application of knowledge that is power. That's why we are excited to announce the new dates for our Build Your Empire 3-day conference and property tour. At this game-changing event, you'll discover how to build lasting wealth with real estate, learn step-by-step methods, avoid common mistakes, and get insights from dozens of real estate and financial experts. If you are listening to the podcast, you know that real estate is a team sport, and we're here to introduce you to the local pros who can help you every step of the way. This event is your opportunity to walk through active real estate deals in Chicago and nearby neighborhoods. And the best part is, you can either attend live or virtually. Go to andrewholmesevents.com and get your early bird tickets now. At the event, you'll see properties being transformed into flips, rentals, or wholesale properties, giving you a rare and valuable learning experience outside the classroom. Meet and learn from successful students who've profited from our mentorship. Hear their stories and struggles, and discover how you can follow in their footsteps, regardless of your background or experience. And so much more. We also have a VIP package that will give you access to our exclusive networking sessions and an opportunity to connect and meet with Andrew himself. Plus, we even give you a hot lunch all of the days you are there. For more information and to secure your spot, visit andrewholmesevents.com. We sell out every time, so don't miss this opportunity to transform your real estate career. We will see you at our next event. And now, back to the show.
So I heard you say something that, I mean, I think there were two key takeaways that I got from you. Number one, you said something which I've made it a part of everything I do, and that is, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Explain that as it relates to flipping or wholesaling or, oh my God, I'm going to do multifamilies, right? Nowadays, that's the big rage. Explain that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I can tell you that I've yet to meet a dynamic, you know the types of people that I run, right? And so I can tell you all the very dynamic personalities and successful people that I work with and talk to, including yourself. One thing I can tell you that I've come to notice about every single one of them is they are amazing salespeople, and the person that's always buying is them, meaning they can talk themselves into anything at any time, and it could be apples and oranges, and they will absolutely make the case to you on how apples and oranges are the same thing and 100% believe it, right? And so that's a very dangerous situation if you're not painfully aware of that, and that you have to have some accountability, and accountability being whether you have outside people that you lean on, or whether you have, you know, systems and processes internally that, you know, we use what's called an opportunity matrix inside of our world, where we look at every opportunity through, and we basically rank them, right, on several different categories. And the math is what it is. And either it's a great fit or it's not. But you have to have some check and balance, because if you don't have that check and balance, to your point, you will sit there and talk yourself into things that do not make any sense outside looking in, but to you, they make perfect sense. And I know you've met these people, and I've met these people, but I think we both can agree for sure that educating people on real estate is an 180 degree opposite of actually doing real estate. Those are 100% very separate businesses. They do not perform, they don't act in any way, shape, or form the same. But at time and time and time again, I can tell you, I've had people come at me like, well, I'm just going to go get doing the coaching or training or whatever. You know, it seems like a super easy fit. It is completely different, Newt. And if you're not prepared for it, the risk associated, you know, with certain businesses, if you don't have somebody to bounce that idea off of, it's easy to get distracted, take your eye off the ball. And ultimately, the opportunity cost associated with that is extreme. Now, if you're moving from, again, going back to my good, better, best, if you're moving through, hey, as a deal architect, I can take a transaction that I'm really comfortable with through two or three different phases. Those are pretty simple scenarios to go through. But if I've specialized in wholesaling single family for the last 3 years, and suddenly I think I'm going to go and build a 80 unit townhouse development, and think I have the skills to do that, you know, those are completely different things, and the risk associated with them, the risk profile associated with, is not even the same universe. And so that's how people get hurt, is they're not conscious of the fact that they're talking themselves into things. Again, back to my, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You believe in your own invincibility. And I don't share any of this wisdom because I haven't made these mistakes. Just the opposite. I share this wisdom because I've made the mistakes, right? That's my value to the industry, is that 35 years being in this business, you know, you do it wrong enough, long enough, you'll figure some stuff out. And that's kind of, I have all the scars that matter, that absolutely know what I'm talking about, that you don't want to get distracted from your core business. You want to try to extend transactions or extend and look at other ways of taking the same transaction and making it better. But a sharp right turn or a sharp left turn can be very dangerous.
So your family, right, you guys have taken a very simple idea, and it's kind of interesting how sometimes, you know, you come a full circle. I'll never forget this. Back in 2009 and 10, sometime around that time, I remember going down to Tennessee and looking at Memphis Invest, the original business that you guys had, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, man, this is, because this idea was in my head percolating, buy it, rehab it, keep it, refi out at the time. And obviously, not too many people were doing it. And I heard of you guys, so I went down and I'm like, oh my God, I can do it in Chicago and my numbers are better because different market markets, right? And it's interesting. So you guys have taken, which is considered a very small, boring type of a business, and you guys have continuously scaled it, made it better and better. You guys went to Dallas. You guys went to tons of different markets, right? And a lot of people are like, oh my God, why do they just stick to single families rather than jumping, going to multis, why doing warehousing? I mean, there's a million things you could do in real estate, but you guys have stuck to that business as a family and become the best at it, right? And you can make a bajillion dollars doing that. Is there such a thing in our tendency as human beings that we want to jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, that other thing looks exciting? What's your take on that as you look at it? Because you get to meet hundreds and hundreds of high performers. Who do you think wins out in the long run? People who have stick-to-itiveness or people who jump from thing to thing?
There's no doubt that in my experience, the people that go deeper are much more successful than the people that go wider. There's few exceptions to that. Clearly Elon Musk is one of the best out there and he seems to be superhuman, but
sure.
Those are not ordinary people, right? They're the most proficient people in this industry have found what they are really good at, and they have become experts at it and have gone extremely deep in it. And, take REI Nation, our business, for example, right? I mean, it's that was born out of simply wholesaling houses and then understanding that there was a problem with our clients that we were selling the houses to on rehabbing the properties and then ultimately property managing the properties and all the little services, the ancillary things that were major problems for them. We started stepping in and solving those. And as we began to own more and more of that vertical integration, before we knew it, we had kind of created this phenomenon called turnkey investing. And then, then it was, to your point, gone. We really understood at that point that, yes, we could expand into other markets, but our expansion, what we're really great at, it's worth being great at. And that there was plenty of opportunity. I think the reason people go outward is they get bored, right? And I think we live in a day and age. I'm sure this was prevalent before social media, but I think social media has only exacerbated it, right? That people get enamored with what they see online or whatever, right? And it's hard for them to contain their excitement, and they gravitate to somebody else's business model, and before you know it, they're throwing their hat in the ring and saying they want to go do this or that rather than understanding. I mean, I can tell you for sure I had somebody in my office just yesterday that I work with, a couple, and the visionary in the business, the husband, is constantly looking outside the business and at the expense of his own internal business. In other words, he's constantly, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And as I pointed out to him, dude, here's two things that if you just focus internally on this business right here, if you fix these two problems, it's another $1 million to the bottom line for you. But you're so busy looking outside because you're bored or whatever the case may be that you've forgotten that all the opportunity is on a regular basis, it's on the inside of the business. Optimization of a business where it is functioning at a very high level in every area is always the answer.
I think this was my reason for coming to you was that, right? I wanted to see what is it people who are doing in different spaces. And I came back with a couple of things, takeaways that I got. One was that whole idea of just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And then another thing that you say, which I found that it's a tremendous thing. Different people have said it differently. You said how you do anything is how you do everything, right? Yep. Can you because you can't be a crook in one part of your life, and you can't be very honorable in another part of your life. You are who you are, and that's going to carry through in not only your character, but in your business, in every single thing that you do, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah,
what is the thought
process? I mean, we as human beings, we constantly compromise with ourselves and negotiate with ourselves, and especially when you know, nobody's looking. And all these little things, you know, whether it's something as silly as you know, putting your dishes away after dinner, or you know, or whatever the hell it is, right? There's all these little things, and the reality of this is that, you know, when it comes to trying to be great at anything, personally or professionally, when you pay attention to where people cut corners in any way. And again, it doesn't have to be malicious. It doesn't have to be, you know, people that just aren't operating out of integrity. Those are kind of the extreme cases. The reality of it is dude, how you do anything in your life, where you negotiate with yourself in life, whether it's health and wellness, whether it's diet, whether it's, you know, whatever, that's a direct reflection of your personality, and that will come out in other areas. And so the more disciplined you can be, and nobody's perfect, by the way, the more disciplined you can be in all the little areas of your life, then that has a tendency to create the habits that I can tell you the great successful business owners, the people that, and I don't mean just running big businesses. I mean, running businesses that you would be proud to own. They are living the life you would want to live. They have the family, they have their kids, you know, they've got it. They're just extremely aware. They're very self-aware. They don't want to let themselves down first, and they don't want to let the people around them down. And they're willing to push themselves and hold themselves accountable to a level that most don't. You look around, we both know that 90 to 95% of the people walking this planet, right, are definitely not self-aware. They are, you know, they're just going through the motions, right? They've got a 9-to-5, they're doing whatever they got to do. And it's, you know, they're largely existing versus thriving and pushing. And that one thing, just, you know, what I say a lot now is like, hey, you need to own your outcome. Your decisions put you here, and your decisions can take you to the next place. But all those little decisions every day, they kind of add up, and figuring out a way to hold yourself accountable to in every little thing you can forms the habits that absolutely create greatness.
Makes sense. So as we record this, we're talking in March of 2024, right? We've come from an era where we had low interest rates. I mean, you could not do anything wrong in real estate, right? Last 3-4 years, right? If you didn't make a buttload of money in real estate, there's something wrong with you, right? Because right. I mean, the market was going straight up, right? The market was going straight up. So from your end, right, where do you think people who are starting, or people who are maybe have 5, 10, 15, 20 rental properties, they want to go to the next place, right? Which is either scaling or multifamilies or market-wise, where do you think they should be looking? Or should they figure out if they're already in a profitable structure and just double down in what they're doing?
Well, everybody's situation is different, right? So let's give a little bit of grace to everybody. But I think the reality of the situation is it's as you start with the end in mind. I personally don't think it's about any one particular asset class or any one particular strategy. What I do think it's about is what's the destination? Where are you trying to go? In other words, hey, I'm trying to create $50,000 a month in passive income, right? If I can create $50,000, then I know that I'm good, right? And so if that's the goal, then all right, that's the destination. No different than the GPS in your car. You have to have a destination in order to get turn-by-turn directions. Where am I now, right? All right, well, I'm at 15,000. All right, I got a $35,000 gap that I need. So now it becomes math, and it becomes ease of implementation, and it becomes, you know, effectively path of least resistance. If I can go pencil out a 12-unit multifamily that is well managed and is going to produce $5,000 a month in free cash flow for me and is getting me $5,000 closer to my goal, then that's something I absolutely need to consider. And I need to be it is pure math. It is not emotion. Now, if I have a machine kind of like REI Nation and Concrete, where I'm producing single family opportunities by the hundreds every single month. And it's fairly simplistic for me to plug into that and grow. Well, then that would be the correct route for me. But I think that once you understand the destination and once you understand the origin, then the means to get there is just, all really comes down to ease of implementation and cash flow. And, you know, I'll give you another great example. So we were, you know, very dialed in on multifamily there in one of my companies. And over the course of the last couple of years, we've gotten extremely diligent on self-storage. And the reality of it was all about the math and implementation. In other words, the math effectively looks the same, right? It performs just like a multifamily problem. I got 100 doors in a self-storage and I got 100 units in multifamily. The biggest difference is one of them, you know, I have the tenants and I have the eviction process and I have the cleanup and I have all that. And the other one, I have none of that. It performs the same way, but if somebody doesn't pay me, I overlock it and we get their stuff out of there and I'm re-renting it almost immediately. And I mean, it's so a lot less noise with the numbers kind of being the same. And so, and it's all, when you look at the bottom line, hey, if all the math lines up, well, then I move to ease of implementation. And, you know, is something really noisy and I'm going to have to be involved in it, or is something less noisy and I don't have to be involved in it? And you kind of keep it in that area. And when you understand that destination, you understand that, again, there's lots of different ways to get there. You surround yourself with people like yourself that will hold you accountable to make that a reality. That's the easiest way I can say. You know, people get confused when it comes to training and coaching and mentoring. Look, the fundamentals are the fundamentals. Once you understand how to put the deals together to make it happen, you know, but there's a level of sophistication when it comes to somebody sitting in front of you and willing to push you and hold you accountable to the net to actually make that $50,000 happen and happen faster than you could ever do on your own, that you cannot understate or overstate how important that actually is in this process. You know, you show me somebody that is not actively engaged with a coach, a mentor, or somebody that is pushing them hard, and I'll show you somebody going in the wrong direction. Because there's only one way to coast, and that's downhill. Like, you've got to have somebody in your corner that is willing to be honest and hold you accountable and be very authentic with you and is not emotionally attached to what you're doing. Without them, you're just talking in an echo chamber. And it's really hard to break free of that because you start buying into your own BS.
I think that's 100%. You said something that makes a lot of sense. And I tend to be, I really believe that. And that is that, pick one thing. If it's getting to $10,000, right? And then what is the simplest and easiest way to get there based on where you are today? Then pick the next one, go to 20,000. And I think every time I've done that, it's worked out. Every time I'm like, oh no, I'm going to go do this because that's what the other people are doing, it comes back to bite me every single time, right? The first time I got to 50,000 a month, I was like, oh no, to get to 100, I'm going to do something different, something exciting. I came back to the basic, like, stick with the properties, 2 to 4 units, single families to 4 units. That's what we're good at. And we, you know, then I got to about 120,000. I'm like, now the next goal is 250,000 net a month. How do we get there? Just stick to what we know, because just going, doing something else. Not that it doesn't work, may work for somebody else. But for me, the simplest thing is single family properties up to 4 units, and we can find thousands of them. Whoa. And so it's the simplest way of doing it. So why not stick to it?
Well, and I also think that, you know, again, you cannot, it's so silly to me. This is such, it's become such common sense for me, but it's not common sense out there in the world. But think about this, brother. Like, if, you know, if you were coming out to my office out here in La Jolla, California, or I was going to your office, one of the very first things I would ask you is send me the address. Because when I land in Chicago, I'm going to get in an Uber, I'm going to get in a rental car, and I want GPS to take me right there, because that's what success looks like, right? And we do this every day. You know, we don't just drive around randomly. I wouldn't land in Chicago and drive around randomly and say, hey, you know, I guess I'll just recognize the building when I see it from the pictures. I would sound like a fool if I did that, right? But people do it all the time when it comes to business and life, all the time. Like, they have no destination. It is, I'm just going to keep grabbing onto crap until I'm assuming at some point I'll understand what success looks like. And that is absolutely a boneheaded way to go about doing that. The reality of this is to what you just said, hey, I've got this number. This is where I'm going to try to get to. That's the destination. What are the turn-by-turn directions on a GPS to get there? How do I know if I'm off? How do I know if I'm on? How do I actually evaluate whether this is a good deal or a bad deal? Well, does it fit into getting me to my destination or not? Sometimes it's as simple as that. And I think if people would actually slow down and say, this is where I want to be in 3 years. This is exactly what success looks like. And then reverse engineer. You'd be shocked. Like, all right, hey, man, I want to own 30 doors by the end of 2020. All right, that means I got to buy a door every 45 days. It's real easy for me to figure out whether or not I'm on track or not. And people just throw out arbitrary numbers, or they don't throw out any number at all, and they have no idea on whether they're on the right track or not. And sometimes it's as simple as that. These little things we do in our life all day long, you know, with putting something in our GPS for our car, or making a list when we go to the grocery store. Like we create these destinations all the time. But when it comes to some of the biggest decisions of our life, we haven't slowed down and bothered to do it. And it's baffling to me that something is not common sense like that. Like, you absolutely need to understand what success looks like so that you can actually go and achieve it.
You know, that's why I think I like that book, The One Thing, right? Oh. Written by Gary Keller. Right,
no
that
doubt.
Pick one thing and stick to it. And a lot of times, I mean, maybe, I don't know, I'm not the smartest bulb on the Christmas tree sometimes, because I'm always amazed with people. They're like, Andrew, you know something, man, rather than buying, you know, 5, 10, 15 single family houses, I'm just going to go do 100. I'm like, 100 of what? Oh, I'm just going to buy 100 unit. I'm like, have you ever bought a house in your life? I mean, it's just like, it blows my mind. You're going to go run a marathon tomorrow. I'm not saying you can't get there, but maybe try walking around the block first.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that'd be the goddamn place to start first before you're just going to go run a marathon, because you got to build up to it, right? There's a process,
right?
And a lot of times you realize that it's much easier to do simple things over and over and over and repetitious boredom, so that you don't have to be, even if you make a mistake, it doesn't cost you. So having said that, as far as reaching you, Kent, how do people reach out to you? How do they become a part of the boardroom? How do they get to understand exactly what you guys do in the boardroom?
Yeah, so the easiest way, I mean, I'm on social media. Probably the best way is on Instagram, at Kent Clothier. And, or you can go to kentclothier.com, or you can go to theboardroommastermind.com. Those are probably the three easiest ways to reach out. Happy to help, happy to engage, happy to pour any kind of insight into you that I possibly can. Like I said, you know, you do it wrong enough, long enough, you figure some stuff out. So I'm happy to share the things to do and equally the things not to do in order to achieve some goals.
And then mentally, not more than financially, where do you need people to be? That what is the type of person that you want in the boardroom, so that not only what they can get from it, but I think one thing I appreciated about what you said is, hey, what can we give out? This is not just a place where you take, this is a place where you give back.
Right.
Because you learn much more. The more you give, the more you learn.
Yeah, also, I can tell you the boardroom, you know, it's an elite group, right? And so full transparency, it is, you know, we get somewhere between 150 and 300 applications every month. And our running acceptance rate for the last year and almost 3 months is right at 4%. So when I tell you that it's a carefully curated group, it's very carefully curated. And it is filled with people that come from every area of real estate. So, you know, multifamily, single family, retail brokers, fix and flippers, wholesale, triple net lease, self-storage, you name it. If they're a significant player, they're in there. And so, you know, clearly a prerequisite is you have to actually have a business and be doing real stuff, right? That's kind of the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, not to be too crass about it, but at this point in my life, I kind of have a no douchebag rule. So, I mean, I don't allow anybody in the room that is not good people. Like, we want people in there. Our members, our average member has been with us almost 5 years now, right? And they stick around because the people that are in that room are good, solid people that you actually want to spend time with and that will, you know, make you better. And then When you come into that group, as you pointed out, there's a no scarcity mentality whatsoever, meaning the whole thing is about compressing time, as the sign says behind me, right? Tattooed on my arm as well. The time is now. So we are all about getting results faster, compressing time down. And so if you have the ability to help somebody and somebody's got a challenge in their business and you know a contact or you know a resource or you can share some wisdom, the idea is that it's no holds barred, right? It's you absolutely pour into that person and make that connection, no scarcity. And equally on the other side, which is this is equally as challenging for people, is, you know, you got to check your ego and you got to, there's a lot of humility, a lot of vulnerability to get in front of a room of your peers that are highly qualified and say, I need help. And that's what it is all about. We want you to come in there and say, what is the challenge that you're dealing with? Because if you show me any business that doesn't have challenges, and I will show you a business that's absolutely going in the wrong direction. As we push and try to grow, inevitably we come across challenges. And it might be hiring C-level executives, it might be opening, it could be anything. But whatever those challenges are, that's what we want brought to the table. Because again, we want to create results quickly and we want to get there together. I mean, it's really cool to get rich, really cool to get wealthy, but it's a hell of a lot cooler to get there with friends.
No, 100%. I couldn't have said better. Man, this has been awesome. Always wanted to have you on as we continue to scale the podcast. So guys, if you haven't checked out Kent, one thing I can tell you with 100% confidence that you're not going to get any BS. You'll get the straight truth. You may not like the truth, but you will definitely, definitely get the truth. So my friend, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Guys, for everybody listening, you're listening to Cashflow for Life with Andrew Holmes. Please like, love, and share. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much, bud.
See you, brother. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Cashflow for Life podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. Achieving financial freedom is all about creating the necessary cash flow in your life. Our team has designed an entire ecosystem for you to be able to not only become a successful real estate investor, but for you to build higher cash flows month after month. Join our community at www.nationalreinvest.com to see which event is coming up that you can be a part of and how you can be a part of our community. Once again, it's www.nationalreinvest.com. We will see you on the next episode.